Does it work? Really? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. Does it really work? Does it work really? What, Herb? Well, what I'm talking about. Well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, does it really work? Does what work? Does whatever we put into our thought work? Well, I guess so. Whatever we think about, that's what we bring a result in our life. And if we think about happiness and joy and peace, that's what it is. Now, Anita Lope is a very crazy lady. She thinks that her much running around the world is going to solve a problem that she has in her mind. And Anita Lope's problem is this. She says, I am looking for paradise. And so here we are, sitting at the breakfast table this morning, discussing how wonderful campus is, how wonderful Campo is, how wonderful California is, and how wonderful we are. And Anita kept saying, this is paradise here. This is paradise here. This is paradise. And, of course, Sylvia agrees, this is paradise. And the ENDS girl, Beatrice, she says, yes, this is paradise. And Sylvia tells Ingeborg, she says, now, Ingeborg, tell me. Ingeborg says, why? She says, this is paradise, and I can say it if I want to and not say it if I don't want to. This is paradise. I am free to be me. And so I say to Ellen, what do you think of this place? She says, there is no other. There is no other in all the world. This is great. Now, Ellen told me something that Anita told her, that Stefan told Anita, that I said somewhere. And I said someplace that we were going to sell the campus. And Ellen says, my God, she'd be the first to know it. What are we going to do? Are we going to buy a beautiful tropical island and set up our operation on the island? Or are we going to go downtown and buy a hotel or something like that with our proceeds from the sale of our 104 acres? What are we going to do? Could we ever replace what we have here? Now, the answer is yes, easily. But do we want to? We have done a lot of loving work building the campus into a
paradise.
Paradise. Thank you. I knew you knew the word. And so we've been doing a lot of work to build the campus into a paradise. Now, personally, I am several thousand years old, and I really don't care whether we buy it or sell it. All I care about is that I am living in the now, you know. Not that I'm 2,000 years old, or 12,000, or 15,000, or 2 years old, or a second old. I am born this instant in the now. And I am living very, very happy in the now. And I walk the meditation paths here on campus, thoroughly enjoying them. And if I see a stick or a stone on the path, I pick it up and put it to the side. I bend over. Mm-hmm. I do like the Mexicans do in the fields, you know. They work in the crop fields picking up things all day long in the sun. And I just reach over and pick it up. Well, doesn't that cause you to have vertigo, or doesn't that cause you to feel unbalanced? Why? Why do you want to put such thoughts in my head? Huh? What goes on in paradise? All is in divine order. All is in divine order. Everybody is in divine order. Everything is in divine order. We are happy, happy, happy people here. Now, back to Miss Anita Lope. Now, I wouldn't say this about Reverend Anita Lope, nor would I say it about the Bachelor, Doctor, Master Anita Lope, or the Master of the School of the Master Anita Lope, or the Master Anita Lope who was at the School of the Master for 3 months out here. I wouldn't say that about her, but I would say about Miss Anita Lope, yes, keep looking. One day you'll find that your field of diamonds was right in your own backyard. Right here in campus, which is your permanent home, which is your spiritual home, which is your only home, and the rest of that is just a playground out there. And you go out and you play in that playground and play as long as you want, years, months, days, weeks, minutes, whatever you like. It doesn't matter. But when you call anything home, you call home paradise, I would think. Mm-hmm. And so if this is paradise and this is what you call it, then you found home. Now, just because you found home doesn't mean you can't go away. That doesn't mean you can't travel the world. But you do not travel the world looking for paradise. You know where it is. You travel the world spreading your pixie dust, spreading your joy, spreading your happiness, spreading your love, spreading your wings, and just having a ball. But you don't look for something, and you don't run away from something. You don't run away from something. We were talking to Ellen's two grandchildren, and they have a grandmother who has been very generous with them, the families, giving them houses and giving them properties and giving them... But Grandma had a tendency of not being able to let go once she gave it. How do you like my house? You know, how do you like my car that I let you use? How do you like my... that's not really giving. So now... Grandma did give it, and they're very grateful for it, and they're very happy with it, and they're very enjoyed. But Grandma still owns it, you know. Grandma still possesses it. And they said, that's tough. And I said, well, that's your choice. Now, all you have to do is, like in the little meditation that Christy told to Chioma and Ibube, it's from March 2005, Mr. Candle, the little girl lost her doll. And she said, Mommy, I lost my doll, lost my doll. And her mommy said, sweetheart, you can't lose anything. You might misplace it. You might have it somewhere, but you don't. When you lose it, when you say, I have lost it, I no longer have it, then you will never find it. But when you say, I have my dolly, I have my dolly, I have my dolly, I know where my dolly is, I know where my dolly is, and just keep saying that, putting that thought in consciousness, what will you find? You find your dolly. That's what she did. She was jumping on the couch where she shouldn't have been jumping, and the cat jumped off the back of the couch, and she looked over the back of the couch, and there was the cat and her dolly. Mommy, I found my dolly! See, it wasn't lost. You just misplaced it. Or maybe the cat took it back there. Who knows? Who knows how it got there? But that doesn't matter how it got to wherever it got. She had her dolly because she said, I have my dolly. Now, when the children have a grandmother who is so generous in giving them such lovely things, all they have to do is say, thank you, Grandma, for your lovely gift. And so it is. Now, I don't know, maybe everybody does this. B. Enns just returned from a shopping splurge in San Diego, and she bought out the store. And she bought it for her grandchildren and her husband and her children and her world. Beautiful clothing items and so forth. And she said, this is for this kid and this for that kid and this is for my son and my daughter and this is for whomever. And now, I would ask her the question. Did you give them your present, or did you give them a present? Are you still claiming the present? Whenever you see your family wearing the gifts that you gave them, well, how do you like my shirt? How do you like the gift I gave you? How do you like that thing that I gave? Get off it, and just let it be. You gave it, and forget it. And if they throw it in the trash, so what? If they don't wear it, so what? If they give it to a neighbor, so what? If they wear it to pieces because they love it so much, so what? You know, give them a couple more. But the thing is, letting go is a difficult thing for every normal human being. Now, the children's grandmother isn't able to let go of these treasures that she's had all of her life that she's sharing with her family. But now you say, Grandma, thank you very much in their hearts. Thank you very much for your gift. I appreciate it. And now I see you with your gifts, with all of your lovely things that you have. And, Grandma, you're so wonderful. You're not possessive, you know, and it's a better way to say that. Grandma, you're so wonderful. You give Unconditionally, there we go. You give unconditionally of everything you give. Grandma gave her gifts unconditionally. Grandma ends here, gives her gifts unconditionally to her grandchildren and her children. But if she gives them with a condition, they're not going to like them. They're going to throw them in the corner and not really enjoy them. This is what Sylvia does. Sylvia goes shopping with Ellen and picks out some things. She brings it home, tries it on, and she doesn't like it because it wasn't her choice. It wasn't her specific decision to buy. It was Ellen's encouragement. And so she throws it in the corner. And Sylvia has some drawers in the kitchen of her house, and these drawers are for trash. And so she has trash in them. She has all her old sweaters in there, her old shirts in there, you know what I mean? She has all her junk things that she will lovingly forget and not be bothered with. But you see, they're not her choice. If they were, they'd be hanging in her closet where she could wear them and enjoy them. But she has them there because she wants to forget them. Now, when we do things like that, we're not in paradise. What should Sylvia do? And don't answer this, you put your foot in your mouth. But what should Sylvia do? What should Sylvia do with sweaters and shirts and pants and whatever, that dresses and whatever, that she doesn't like or doesn't want? What should she do? What Sylvia should do is to release them. If she keeps holding them, she's going to attract more of the same to her. So she should take all of those beautiful things that she doesn't really like, put them in the trash, and put them in the trash on Tuesday morning. And that way the trash collector will come on Tuesday and pick it up, and she can't go back and pick it out. Oh, I wish, that wasn't so bad, you know. But you see, this is what miracles happen. This is what Anita's doing. Anita's dashing all over the world looking for paradise, and she doesn't even know that she has paradise within her. That she is paradise itself. And that when she comes here to campus, she makes campus a little more paradise because she brings her paradise here. And each one of us make campus paradise because we bring our paradise here. Now, we bring it wherever we go. I have a letter, which I'll show you, from a minister in
INTA.
Say it loud.
From INTA.
Yes, that's right, from INTA. Of Colorado, is it, or some? It's from some state. And a letter. It said, he really thought that my presentations at the INTA Congress were outstanding and represented what he thinks. Now, that's a compliment. That's really a compliment. Now, why did he do that? Because he was one with me. Mm-hmm. Now, does that mean that all 299, 300, 400, whatever number of people were there who didn't write me notes didn't agree with me? No. They're just the silent majority who agree with me and live it and enjoy it and are it. Would you say that most of the ministers of INTA are outstanding beings? Mm-hmm. Why? Why are they outstanding beings?
My reflection.
I'm sorry?
Because
yes, they're your reflection, that's true. Okay, but why are they outstanding beings? They don't even know you. Many of them don't even know you. Why are they outstanding? They are outstanding beings because they're being themselves and having fun.
Uh-huh.
Now, if you ask them, are you being yourself and having fun? They say, oh, I wish, you know. Well, no, they are. They don't do things they don't like to do. They don't say things they don't like to say. They don't act in any ways they don't like to act. And if they hear somebody give a talk and they are inspired by that talk, you know what they do? You know what they do? They take out of it what they like, and then they say that's what the person said. And it may be one little teensy-weensy little bit. And it may not really represent what the person said, but it's what they could understand of what the person said that they agreed with. Now, this is what we all are. We all are little bits of heaven, little bits of paradise. Why do I say little bits? Because we are our heaven and our paradise. And when we add our heaven and our paradise to others who have a lovely paradise in heaven, it's wonderful. When Anita was visiting with her family back in Switzerland the past several months, what did she do? She went everywhere with a smile on her face and a giggle in her heart, and nobody could take offense at her. Everybody thought, she is just the neatest lady. She is just the neatest lady. And if anyone took offense at her, she didn't even know it. She didn't even know it. We saw a movie last night called Big. It was the second or third time we saw it. And in there, Tom Hanks plays the role of a 13-year-old boy in a 30-year-old body. He did a beautiful, beautiful job. But, you see, the girl who fell in love with this beautiful boy, beautiful man, fell in love with him as an adult. And she made innuendos and expectations of him from an adult point of view. But as a 13-year-old, he had never even dreamed of those things. He had never even thought of those things. And so many of her innuendos, many of her desires went right over his head. And the one in illustration, which is so perfect, she said, well, you know, I probably want to sleep with you, you know. He said, oh, you want to sleep over, like a 13-year-old. You want to stay over. It's not that we're going to have sex together or anything, but you're going to sleep over, you know. And so he said, fine. But he said, but I get to sleep on top. Well, of course, she misinterpreted all this stuff because she, on her adult level, understood it one way. He, on his 13-year-old level, understood it totally another way. You see? But as the show progressed, and as he was inundated with her adult qualities in a nice way, he soon took on the business qualities of busy, 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 busy. And because he did that, before he was really ready for it, his little buddy, who was his best friend, came to him and said, come now, you said you want to be a 13-year-old again. You don't want to stay 30 years old. I got important things to do now. Get out of here. I'll see you this afternoon. I'll call. You know? And the little buddy said, that's not going to make you happy. That's not going to make you happy. And the boy had his own attitudes, you see. He had his 13-year-old attitudes. And this is why we have to be so careful when we are dealing with someone who is insecure. They're dealing from their insecurity. If we're dealing with someone from their joy, then they're dealing with them from their joy. If we're dealing with them from their lack or from their abundance, we're dealing with them from that point of view. And if we understand that, but we don't be intimidated or inhibited by it. If you have a lack of a certain amount of money, you want to have money for your train trip, and you don't have enough. And you say, Herb, what am I going to do? And I said, well, you want to go? Yes, yes. Do you really want to go? Yeah. Then just say, I have enough money. Or don't even say that. Say, I have my ticket. I have my ticket. Now, who cares where it comes from? It could come from heaven. And every place is heaven. But it could come from the most strange way. Just say, I have my ticket. And don't worry about it. And then let it go. And then when it's time to go, be ready and be packed. Expect to go. Don't just pack after you get your ticket. Be ready to go. Be ready to go at the time you choose to go. And then it'll be there. But you see, the thing is, we don't believe. We don't realize we put the cause in motion. I want a ticket. I have my ticket. I have my ticket. But you don't pack. Well, I'm not going to pack in case I don't get my ticket. Well, then you put two causes in motion. One, you don't have it. One, you do have it. Now, which is the strongest? Well, obviously, you're not packing. If you were packing, then the strongest one would be, I have my ticket. Now, this is a silly little illustration, but it's very powerful, and it is who you are. So, stop saying, I would like a little house with a picket fence around it, you know. Stop saying, I would like to have the ideal husband. Mm-hmm. Stop saying, I would like to be living in paradise. Stop saying, I would like to have infinite abundance to handle all of my needs and my desires. Stop saying that. And be like the little girl who lost her dolly, you know. Or be like Tom Hanks, who was 13 years old, and he woke up and he realized, hey, this is not really too cool playing this adult role. I'm not used to that. And it was the same thing with Meet George Black. Meet Joe Black, remember? Mm-hmm. Joe Black was the death in a human body, having human feelings that he didn't know how to handle. He did not know how to kiss, even though he was a very kissable guy, and he had been kissable before he had been knocked off, you know. But you see, it's the same principle. The movies teach these things so brilliantly if we would listen. We live in the now. We live in the now. And it's wonderful. So realize in the now that you do not possess anything. You don't even possess your body, because your body changes. And are you the ideal wife?
Yes.
Is your husband the ideal husband?
Yes.
Is there anything to change in either of you?
No.
Oh, my God, no. That came out kind of slow, but no. No, there's nothing to change. Anita, are you the most fulfilled, happy, content woman in the world?
Yes.
And you, Ingeborg, are you the healthiest young broad around?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Ellen, where do you stand on this? Are you the ideal spiritual being manifesting itself here on earth?
Yes.
Oh, I see. And Sylvia, I know this is a tough one. I know that I'm always mean to you. I know I'm always tough on you. But Sylvia, are you the essence, the fulfillment of God right now?
Yes.
Now, I believe you. Oh. And if I ever am tempted to look at you acting in any different way, it's a lie. I won't see that. I will only see you acting as God, as a fulfilled being, as happy in every way. So, you start acting like a not an ideal wife, I will say, huh, Beatrice Enns must have died. The ideal wife was Beatrice Enns. Are you alive?
Yes.
Yes. Are you ever going to die?
No.
Do you live eternally?
Yes.
Does Oscar live eternally?
Yes.
Is Oscar the ideal husband?
Yes.
Oh my God, how wonderful. I must meet that man one day. I have met him, I know, but I must meet him again. So, do you believe what I said?
Yes.
Yes.
It shakes you up sometimes, doesn't it?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that you can't follow it. So, it is done unto you according to your belief, and this is what you believe. Ah, ha, ha. This is what I believe. And you're my reflection, and boy, are you good. I love you. I love you. I love you.